The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the True Crime Guys podcast. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Michael.
Oh, we have another example of teenagers scaring the living shit out of us.
Do we need another example? They already scare the shit out of us. Really?
I mean, we are doing a crime podcast, so it's going to come with the territory.
That's true.
Episodes are supposed to scare the shit out of us, right? That's the point.
That's the point. That's why they're here. But I don't know. I just take these more and more personal each time. You know, I got a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old right now. I'm about to have two teenagers. I don't know, man. They scare me.
Keep an eye on them, man. Keep an eye on them.
Nah, they're pretty level-headed kids so far. Yeah. But, I mean, it don't take much, right? Your world is so small as a teenager, man. One flip of the switch like we see in this episode.
Yeah, Ooh. Just wait till the dating starts to occur and then the emotions start flying. And,
oh,
yeah.
Lord. The troublesome relationships, the love triangles, the cheating.
Yep. And we're going to a new country. We've done, I don't know how many, probably close to 200 episodes if you count Patreon, and we've never gone to Sweden to do an episode.
That's hard to believe.
Part of that is because they have one of the lowest murder rates in the world, so
that
not as many cases to pick from. And also the language barrier, they almost exclusively speak Swedish there, so it's like I think most of the cases that occur over there aren't really translated to American English.
Right, right. But they're not exactly saints over there either. They still have a high assault rate, right? They probably just don't have access to firearms like we do here in America.
I mean, but there's always sticks, as you've seen in this case. There's always a way
there's
to
always
kill
sticks,
someone if you're
right? If you're if you're determined enough, there's always a way.
All right, is that enough of a prelude?
Yes, it is, man. Let's get into this.
All right.
Take the Rego.
Right now, answer the phone. So sorry, I wanna kill myself, I'm all alone. I can't forgive what you did, it's pure evil. I'll never trust you again, you're so deceitful. Please don't break my heart over a text. I can promise you there won't be a next. All your promises, they don't mean shit. Then you know that's it. Both liars, they were together and conspired.
All right, for our case this week, as we briefly mentioned, we are going to Sweden. And some of the names in this, you know, they're actually names that were commonly known in America, like Tim and Therese, but they're, you know, said with a Swedish twist, and I don't know if I really want to go down that road, if I just want to call him Tim, you know?
Yeah, let's just stick with that. I mean, we're already translating all the text messages and different information back and forth in this case in English, so we might as well just stick with English translation names, right? I'm sure they pronounce it like team or something like that, right?
Team and Therese.
Oh, okay.
Therese. Yeah.
I think just for ease of conversation, we'll go Therese.
Yeah, and as for the town that we're doing within Sweden, it's Stöderby.
That makes no sense.
I believe is how it's pronounced.
That makes no sense. There's not even a D in the word. Okay, Sweden, I need you to explain. Okay,
Stöderby.
It looks like Sturby. 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 All day. Stuerby at most, but not Stöderby. What the hell? Adding a whole syllable in there, dude. There's a silent D, and it's also invisible. What the fuck, Sweden?
Like, to be fair, my pronunciation could still be way off with Stöderby, so who knows?
Well, listen, no, I looked it up as well, because I saw this in the timeline, and I was like, what the hell? Is this a typo?
Is Lauren stupid? What is going on?
Yeah, what the hell is going on? So I looked it up, and sure enough, dude, that's exactly how it sounds. Stöderby.
So. Okay, yeah, well, it's outside of Stockholm, which is easy enough for us to say.
Oh, yeah, we know Stockholm.
Yeah. And in Sweden, I was, you know, I love doing new cases where of countries we've never covered, because I'm just not all that keen on.
Yeah, we'll blame it on.
I'm not the worldly creature. I've only traveled to, like, the states surrounding Nevada,
right?
So I'm pretty ignorant to different cultures and things like that, to be honest. And so I love to learn. It's a good excuse to learn more about these countries and just learning more about their culture and how they're notoriously polite and soft spoken as a culture. Which may be why, once again, we haven't done a case on them yet.
Yeah, could be. Or it could just be a translation barrier, too. A lot of cases you look up in, you know, Denmark, Sweden, you know, they're in their native language. It's hard to check that. I mean, it's not like reading Spanish. It's not like translating Spanish or French. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's completely off the wall to us here in America. So it's difficult to translate those. And I don't think there's a whole lot of people in America who are able to translate Sweden or Dutch, you know?
Right. Well, let's go over a quick study source I used for this. It was actually a YouTube video which covered this at length. It was almost like a slideshow with storytelling in it, and the YouTube channel is John Knows Nothing did an episode on this case called Kill Her If You Love Me, the Therese Johansson Rojo story.
Be honest, man.
Well done. And honestly, you can't find the names of the people in this because they're protected. I'm guessing in Sweden, youth that are arrested for serious crimes, they don't release their names.
Oh, yeah, of course not. However, that makes sense.
In this video, we got the names. And honestly, I don't know. I feel like their names should be out there because of what they did.
I agree. It's a cold-hearted murder of a random person. Yeah. It deserves to be out there.
Yeah, totally innocent person.
Absolutely.
So let's get into... the victim in this case, Therese Rojo, was born June 17th, 1993. She shared a birthday with Barry Manilow and Kendrick Lamar.
Ah, nice.
Two great artists in their own respect, totally opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, amazing musicians, though, nonetheless. Right. Absolutely. Great day.
So she had a seemingly normal and happy upbringing. She was an extrovert and had many friends. She had a blog in the early to mid-2000s. As well to share her world with other people on the internet.
I think she would be like an influencer.
Blogs were kind of like the Instagram before Instagram, I feel like.
That's what I was about to say. I feel like she would be an influencer in today's age.
Oh, for sure.
You know, pretty young girl, very bubbly personality, already on the blogging scene in the mid-2000s, early 2000s. Yeah. Like, that's that's incredible. I wasn't even thinking about that in, you know, 2007, 2009, anywhere around there, you know? Blogs, like, what the fuck? You got a blog? What is that?
Back then, I for sure had a what do you call it? MySpace.
Yeah, I had a MySpace. Yeah, but I wouldn't call that a blog though. That's just like, you know, that's just your personal profile. That was the early days of social networking.
A blog is another level of commitment, right? It seemed like it was like a digital journal or something.
Well,
like that.
It's like, imagine if you were posting your crime lines online in 2008. That's how ahead of the game she would be. That's basically what she was doing.
Right.
Yeah.
The crime line of her life.
Right, exactly.
Which turned into a crime line, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, ironically.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, at her school, there was a pair of teens in an all-too-familiar relationship. As we've seen in the past, a rocky teenage relationship that turned bloody in the end.
Yeah, volatile.
I guess you could say.
Yeah.
14-year-old Tim, and Tuve, who started dating in the fall of 2007. They went to the same school as Therese, and their relationship was rocky from the start. Tuve was controlling and tried to isolate him from his friends. She wanted him to herself, as you know, many teens that get into their first serious relationship, they become completely obsessed with the other person, and
of course, that first love,
spend every waking moment with them. Even their family members get in their way.
Yep, because that's that first person you had that deep connection with, right? That you felt like you gave yourself to, and you feel like if they're not entirely yours, you may have wasted that. You know?
Yeah. And this is it, right? They're always convinced this is the one. Like, I never could need another person.
I mean,
meanwhile, they're 13 years old.
You know? Yeah, that's like, the chemical response, right? It feels like their whole world is basing on this moment. Yep. And in reality, they have so much more to experience before they even get to a point where they're ready to settle. Most people. I'm not saying you can't find love young, because I did it myself, but still.
I'd say me as well would qualify into that. But I think we at least had a little bit more. We dated a few people prior to meeting the person we're with now.
Yep. I approach them differently. There are people who approach every single relationship like, we're going to get married. I wasn't that type of person. And I don't think most teenagers are. But I think there is a large group of teenagers that every person that they're with, every person that they happen to fall in love with, even for a shorter period of time, every person they have sex with, it's like, this is my forever person. And that is a toxic way to think about relationships, I think. But that is the way our society has molded us, you know?
Yeah, I think through entertainment, movies, television, right? You don't see a lot of, like, movies where the person breaks up and that's it. It's usually, like, they end up back together.
Yeah,
it's a love story. They're meant to be together. That's almost everything we ever see growing up. Like, kids' movie, it's always, like, true love, you know?
You know, a great example, Boy Meets
World. Sometimes it's just not meant to be. You're not meant to be with that person, but movies and TV wouldn't really lead you to believe that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, think about Boy Meets World with Corey and Topanga. I feel like that's a great example of on again, off again, on again, off again, but they were true loves, right? And that's what everybody aspires to. But honestly, if you're having that much relationship issues as a teenager, I don't think it's going to get better from there.
No, I mean, yeah, it's not a good sign.
Like, if you guys are on and off again in the course of a year over and over again, year after year.
Rarely does that work out long term where you don't end up getting divorced 10 years later.
Yeah, that's probably not your soulmate right there. You might want to move on, as hard as it is.
Yeah, so as we mentioned, Tuve was quite controlling, and Tim was also a jealous partner. They were also both unfaithful to each other during their 2 years together. Tim with several girls, and Tuve with her ex-boyfriend, Gordon.
What do you expect? That sounds even to me. Right?
I don't know. It doesn't sound even, because he's with several girls, and she. Well, I guess the ex-boyfriend, that hurts more. That cuts deeper when it's
I was about to say.
Ex, you know, there's a real connection there, so maybe it is even. Like,
yeah, exactly. When you're talking like several girls, it's like, well, Tim obviously doesn't even care about these girls enough to name them, or they're not even that important. But here's Tove with her ex-boyfriend, someone she's been with, someone who she may still be in love with.
Right.
I feel like that evens things out quite a bit.
Yeah, and after Gordon and Tove had broken up in 2007, Gordon had began seeing, guess who, Therese Rojo. They would have a standard teenage on and off relationship as well for the next 2 years. So these things are getting a little bit connected here.
Right.
Then on October 24th, 2008, Tim and Tove, both at age 15, would get engaged. Taking their commitment to the next level.
Right. Well, Gordon's off the market now, so why not?
I know, right? Yeah, she can't go back to him.
Ain't that weird, Tove? How all of a sudden, like, now you want to marry Tim. Now that Gordon is off the market, he's in a relationship with a beautiful girl and Therese Rojo. Yeah, and now all of a sudden she's like, oh, well, fine. I'll marry this guy. I'll show him.
Yeah. So Tim and Tuve would both attend church on a regular basis. And in April of 2009, Tim does his confirmation with Tuve at his side.
His confirmation. What does that mean?
It's basically like baptism. Like you're fully committing to the church, I suppose.
I got you. Like getting saved, your salvation, your baptism, your outward speaking of it. Okay. Yeah. I was a little bit confused. That's what I thought, you know, just using my context clues here, but I was curious. Do you know what religion they were? Were they? I mean, I'm guessing it was a sect of Christianity.
Yeah, they're Christian.
Okay.
Yeah, and that same month, Easter weekend of April 2009, Therese broke up with Gordon. Gordon's back on the market now.
Okay, all right.
It's Gordon guy, man. He gets around.
That's right. Well, I mean, this seems like a healthy relationship, though, between him and Therese. You know, they spend some time together. They're like, okay, maybe it doesn't work out. Let's split up for a little while. They're about to go into the most exciting part of their life. They're about to graduate their high school, right? Graduate high school, move on to a trade school or whatever vocational school they want to go to.
Yeah, we'll talk more about Sweden's schooling system.
Yeah, it's a little different than ours. Yeah.
It's a lot different. Yeah, it's a lot different, but perhaps better. I don't know. I like the sound of it. It's
more efficient.
Yeah, definitely. I think it prepares you for adulthood much more than our system does in America.
Oh, God, yes. And much earlier.
Yeah.
That would explain why these kids maybe act so mature at 14, 15-year-olds as well. Maybe that's why they take their life so serious, because they are kind of being pushed to grow up and make big decisions at very young ages.
I can tell you the text thread that we have that goes back and forth between main characters in this story. I felt that they texted at a much more mature level than like you would expect teens in America in 2021 to text back and forth. I could say that for sure.
It definitely
like they talked like you know, just adults would talk through text. It, you know, obviously they were talking about killing someone, but
yeah,
grammar and spelling and all that stuff was pretty solid. You know, as opposed to nowadays, I feel like even adults texting back and forth. Granted, it's maybe you're just trying to get to the point, but it's a lot of abbreviations and a lot of just slang and
yeah. Mine depends on who I'm talking to. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know I can get the message across certain ways with different people, and then that's what matters. But if you're reading these text messages with no context, absolutely, you got to think, okay, these are probably like young 20 somethings.
Right.
They're not super mature. 14,
15 years old.
Right. They're not super mature, established adults, but they're definitely not kids. But when you find out they're 14, 15, it's kind of insane.
Yeah. The emotion that went into it, each text,
right,
with the constant threats to kill themselves and things like that, told me that they were still very mature. But
yeah. The mind games that they were playing with each other, very toxic. But we'll get into all that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that same weekend, you know, as we mentioned, Therese broke up with Gordon in April of 2009. Then on May 1st, 2009, Tim and Therese were allegedly seen together at a party where a soon infamous kiss would take place between the two of them.
Oh, no.
This is not good, yeah. So Therese has already been with Gordon, who also had been with Tuve, and now Therese is kissing Tim, who Tuve is engaged to. And when Tuve hears about this, and this would mark the fourth time that Tim was unfaithful to her.
This ain't got nothing to do with Tim,
word would get
Tim,
out.
Bro.
This wouldn't stay a secret for very long. It would actually stay a secret longer than you would expect, almost 2 weeks before the rumor would get around to Tuve.
Oh, wow. That's impressive in a high school.
Yeah. So the kiss happens on May 1st between Tim and Therese. And on May 13th, 12 days later, and unfortunately for Tuve, the day after her birthday, the rumor would spread around school enough to the extent that she would hear about it. And upon hearing this news, while in school, she became furious. Naturally. She ran to the classroom that Tim was in and began banging on the door. When Tim came out into the, I could just imagine, right, being the teacher and this girl's banging on the door of your room and interrupting your class. Like, how do you not immediately send that girl to the dean's office rather than send the boy out that she's mad at and let them deal with it in the fucking hallway?
Yeah, I don't get, that would totally not fly in my high school at all. They'd be like, no, honey, you need to go back to your class.
Right.
This can be handled after school, at lunch, or whatever. Like, no.
Maybe she just headbutted the teacher, knocked her out, and then when Tim came out, took care of business.
She just cold cocked the teacher as soon as she opened the door.
I wouldn't put it past her.
Laid her
That's
ass
how mad
out.
She was.
Yeah.
Because as soon as Tim came out into the hallway, she attacks him, hitting him in the face and chest. And when he tries to subdue her by grabbing her arm, she headbutts him in the face, breaking his front tooth.
Damn, she is not fucking around.
She ain't fucking around.
Dude. She's crazy, Tim.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And this has nothing to do with Tim at this point. If, you know, now she feels scorned. Both of the loves of her life have been unfaithful to her with the same person. You know what I'm saying? Like, if this was really about Tim being unfaithful, then maybe she would have dropped him, you know, the first three times.
To be fair, we don't have any record of Therese being with Gordon while Tuve was with him. So there's
No. I'm not saying that. That doesn't matter. You see what I'm saying? If she's still fooling around with Gordon while she's with Tim, and then Gordon shacks up with Therese. You see what I'm saying? Now she's mad at Therese.
She's viewing this as Therese is stealing all of her men or her boys. I think is more apt for this situation. But
yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. So after the big event of her breaking Tim's tooth in the hallway and freaking out on him, texts were sent from Tim to Tuve after the beating. He says, quote, "How could you be so mean and so stupid that you believe a rumor over my word? I'll never be whole without you. You don't understand how much you hurt me when you're busy with your problems all the time." She doesn't respond to those. He then says, "Tuve, I want to talk to you right now. I'm so sorry. I'm going to kill myself." Then he tries to call her 16 times.
Oh, Lord. This is what I'm talking about. This is where that toxic shit comes in, man.
And
I'm gonna
this
kill
is the
myself.
Games. You know, this is the games that, sadly, adults still play. You know,
yes, they do.
Well into their 20s, 30s, and 40s. That I'm glad I'm not a part of any of that, but the constant like getting hand over one another, you know, right? Yep. Now she has hand, he's constantly blowing up her phone and she's just getting off on the fact that she's ignoring him and it's driving him crazy. But then there's times where it flips the other way, you know, and Tim's ignoring her calls and her texts and she's saying you need to kill this girl and this and that and on it goes. And they were getting off on it. They both enjoyed this game.
Oh, absolutely. What's more dramatic than this?
Unfortunately, it carried over into reality, and a person ended up dead over it.
Right, right. As it often does, they took it too far.
Yeah, and so during this first part of it, after she beats him up in the hallway, he's texting her. He's still kind of trying to deny that he kissed her, and like you know, with that first text, how could you believe a rumor over my word? But as she's not responding to anything he says, he tries to call her 16 times. He decides a new tactic, and he decides to confess. He texts her, he says, quote, "I feel so bad right now, I don't know what to do. I would kill to have you back, and I mean it. I would literally kill anyone. I'm dying without you. I love you more than anything. You're the sweetest and most wonderful person, and you have to be mine again."
Oh my God.
Just laughing, picturing him texting this with his chipped tooth after she headbutted him.
Right. You know? His eyes are all walled.
You're the sweetest and most wonderful person.
You're the sweetest and most wonderful person.
Nose still bleeding from the headbutt to the face. You're so sweet. Blood dripping onto his phone as he texts it.
But Lauren, dude, why do you immediately go to "I would kill to have you back"? I mean, I get that I would kill to have you back. Like that's a generic phrase.
That's what she wants, right?
Right. That's a generic phrase. But then you go on to say, "I mean it. I would literally kill anyone." Like, why do you got to say that so specific?
Right.
It's like you said. It's almost like he's saying exactly what she wants to hear. He's noticing that her anger is towards a certain person. I think at this point, don't you?
Yes.
That just seems like something I'm picking up here. He's doing anything he can to get in her graces, and he's like, you know, I'll never cheat on her again, and to prove it, I'll kill her.
He may have known that she already despised Therese. Yeah. I think he knew that, and I think maybe he got off on that a little bit when he kissed her at the party. That was part of the excitement of it, you know?
Right, right.
Like, ooh, if she would find out about this, it would not be good.
Yeah.
And so when she finds out, now he knows like how much he hates her, and now she hates her, and that's just been taken to another level. And
yeah, or maybe
maybe this is his way out of that. If he threatens to kill her, that she, you know, that might be the only way to get her back now.
Or maybe he too blames Therese for ruining his relationship and pushing herself on him, quote unquote. I don't know. I'm just saying. Right. Maybe he feels like he was a victim. Like, oh, she took advantage of me. Like, how could I say no? Like, well, this and that. You know what I'm saying? And now she's ruined my relationship. And the only way to resist that temptation is to get rid of her.
Yeah. Who knows what's going on in their angsty, emotional teenage minds.
Yeah, man. Their whole world hormones is just right there in front of them. Yep.
So for the next 2 days, Tuve tried her best to steer clear of Tim at school before writing this text to him. Quote, "No, Tim, I can't forgive what you did. You were pure evil. I'll never trust you again. I'm so glad this happened. Now I know who you are. You'll never be happy again, no matter how much you try. I feel bad for your next victim. You mean nothing to me now. Take off the ring. You've ruined everything again."
Wow.
This is the game, though. This is the back and forth game. Like, she says this, and then she, like, said, you know, I imagine she, like, turns her phone off for a while and can't wait to turn it back on to see all the responses that he has.
Absolutely. Like, life is boring without this kind of controversy.
It's like pure drama.
Yeah. If a relationship is going well, it's like, how fun is that? That's no fun. It's no fun for a teenager. Everything's all hunky-dory.
Yeah. Wow. Tim sends back a text, says, quote, "Let's not do this over text. You gave me a chance yesterday. Don't take it back. I promise I'll change. Please give me a chance." She texts back, "Don't forget, you're worthless." All caps, worthless. Nobody likes you.
What kind of response is this?
All caps, "You fucking pig."
Wow.
And so he doesn't respond to that one. And you can see it start. He's getting hand back now. It's driving her crazy that he didn't respond to that, because she then responds with another text. Why don't you answer, you fucking creep? I have an idea. Next time, why don't you cheat? Why don't you pick Linda? You're both ugly and disgusting. What? And then I put in parentheses below that, why drag poor Linda into this? What does she
seriously
have to do with anything?
Who is Linda?
I know, right? What does
this
she have to do with
anything? This bitch is spiteful. She's a number one mean girl out here. She is This has nothing to do with Tim. I don't think
Tim, you know what? Tim probably like said hi to Linda in front of Tuve at one point.
Oh,
and,
that
like,
son
now
of a bitch.
She just like logged that in her brain, like, that bitch is the next one.
Yeah, he probably like borrowed a pencil from her or some shit.
Yes, right?
What are you doing with Linda's pencil, you cheating pig? Right. Wow.
He doesn't respond to that one either. And seven hours later, it's clearly driving her crazy. She sends him another text, quote, kill yourself. It's for the best because you're evil, disgusting, in all caps, yeah, worthless.
She's just pushing the limit now. She's like, oh, you won't respond to that? Well, I'll make you respond to this.
Let me see how deep I can cut now.
Exactly.
25 minutes later, she texts, you're so quiet. Did you kill yourself? 8 minutes after that, okay, I'm going to kill myself too then.
Oh, Lord.
Sorry, this shouldn't be funny, threatening to kill yourself. But
it really shouldn't be, but it's just the extent that they're, the pettiness.
It's the context of this, because we know it's her literally just trying to get him to respond. That's all it is.
Yep.
4 minutes later, she texts, you only care about yourself. You never keep your promises. I can't trust you. And then sometime over the following days, communication was reciprocated between the two, and they began to come to a solution. Tuve was willing to take him up on his offer of being willing to kill anyone. She decides it should be the last girl he cheated with, the girl that she despises at this point, Therese. Lord.
Of course. I'm sure she just came to that conclusion. I'm sure that was never her intention from the beginning.
Yeah.
Wow. She's like, I can make this work in my favor. Mm-hmm. I can make this work.
So on May 24th, 2009, Tim says, quote, can you answer me, please? I swear on my life that I regret that I could kill myself, but you've given me this opportunity and it's what I'm living for. I can fix this. I know. I love you. So they've clearly spoken at this point about killing Therese. Mm-hmm. And they have these cryptic messages back and forth about, did you do it yet? Things along those lines. And I'm going to do this for you so we can be together and yada, yada.
Yeah. Wow. Why don't y'all just run away? Why don't y'all just leave? You know? I don't get that. Like, if you're willing to go to the extreme to kill someone, it's like, you know, you could take yourself out of the picture as well. Both of you could just go somewhere else. I mean, you're about to embark on that part of your life where you can choose what school you go to and whatnot.
Because you know what? That's boring. That's not what this is about.
That's so boring and mature. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
We can't.
To an extent, I don't know. To an extent, the excuse that would later be used by Tuve would be that she never thought he would actually do it, that, you know, this was all a game to her. I'm not going to say I believe that, I mean, or that it excuses what she did. It doesn't, because she pushed this to happen, obviously.
Right.
But there may be some definitely truth to that. There was a game aspect to it for her, for sure. Like, she was enjoying the drama of this back and forth. It made life exciting for her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. She felt
and
like
I think
she was controlling
all this is
multiple
about at this
lives.
Point.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
But Tim, nonetheless, intends to follow through on this promise to kill the girl on the other end of the kiss, Therese Rojo. He looks up her address on Google, and on May 26th, he takes the subway to her house. He's, at this point, sitting outside of her house and waiting for her to arrive home so he can ambush her. And while he's sitting in Therese's yard, he sends several texts to Tuve, quote, pick up the phone. Why aren't you answering? Tuve, if you don't pick up, I'm leaving. I'm doing this for you, and you can't even answer. I'm panicking. Please just answer me until she gets here. I can't do it otherwise. Tuve finally responds, quote, I'll call you soon. Of course, she doesn't. He calls her another 9 times before he leaves.
Oof. What do you think is going through her head right here? Why is she not coming?
Once again, I think maybe there's a little snippet of truth that she didn't think he was actually going to do this. And now when he's in her yard, she's probably getting nervous.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit,
that's
is he actually going to do this?
That's what I think too. She's like, "Oh my god, I can't be involved in this. I can't." Text
you have
back.
a whole breadcrumb of texts back and forth that are, you know, clearly talking about killing this girl, and now he's actually in her yard. And
yeah,
how are you going to get away with this if he actually does it?
Mm. Oh,
so, nonetheless, the next day she exits on again on May 27th. Tuve texts him, "I'm sitting next to her on the subway. I can't take it. She has to die."
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So she runs into her, and now she's reminded. Oh my God, she's so much prettier than me. She has to die.
I can't stand her presence.
Can't stand her. Mm-mm. She can't be here.
Yep. Tim responds immediately and says she's going to die today. Again, he goes to her house and hides and wait for her. She doesn't show up. She's at a friend's house, so he calls her 8 more times with no answer. Once again, he calls Tuve.
Tuve, of course.
8 more times, and once again, she doesn't answer. So he's not as motivated to do it. I think he wanted his idea of this whole thing was like he was going to be on the phone as Therese was like pulling up, you know, in her car or walking home.
Yeah,
and he's like, okay, she's here. I'm going to do it. And it was like this whole moment where he talks to her before and after, and like this solidifies their love together. And
yeah, he was looking for that, right? And also, he didn't want to do it alone. I mean, that's
right.
Just
that's another
facts.
Part of it. That's another part of it for sure.
He would have preferred to have her on speakerphone or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really think he wanted her to be a part of this. He just didn't want to do it alone, as you can imagine. I mean, no matter how psyched up you are for this, how convinced you are that this is the right thing for your life and for your relationship, it's still a huge step that you don't want to take alone.
For sure. Yeah, it's not like stepping on an ant, you know.
Exactly. Uh-oh. But although that's how they're treating it. Oh, she's going to die today. Don't worry about it. When she shows up at her, like, God damn.
Yeah, just casually texting about doing that.
Oh, it's incredible.
Meanwhile, I think it's important to note that all the teens in this story were now 15 years old and a week away from their 9th graduation. And with that, let's go jump to a quick commercial break, and we'll get into a little bit about the Swedish school system, because I find it fascinating, and I think maybe you as well, if
Absolutely.
You don't know how it works.
All right, let's do it. We'll see you on the other side, guys.
All right.
What's up, creepers? Let me tell you about one of our favorite sponsors, SimpliSafe. When SimpliSafe Home Security's founders, Chad and Eleanor Lawrence, designed their first security system in their kitchen, they did it for a very personal reason. Their friends had just had their home broken into. They were struggling to find a security system that was simple to set up and would make them feel safe again. Making people feel safe is what SimpliSafe has been doing ever since that moment 15 years ago. And I can say from experience, I've had my home broken into, my first home that I ever owned, and it was a terrible feeling. In the home I'm currently living in, I set up my own SimpliSafe security system. I have sensors on all of my doors, all of my windows. I have a motion sensor in my basement, and I sleep like a baby at night knowing that if someone were trying to open my kid's window or was trying to go in through my basement door and was wandering around in my home at night, that the alarm would be set off and that help would be on the way. SimpliSafe has a passion to protect people that not only drives every engineering detail in its products, but it motivates every interaction with its customers. And the thing is, SimpliSafe just makes it so easy. It takes about 2 minutes to customize a system on their website, simplisafe.com/creeper. SimpliSafe has highly trained security experts ready whenever you need them, whether that's during a fire, a burglary, a medical emergency, or even when you're just setting the system up. There's always someone there who has your back to keep you safe and make sure you feel safe. As True Crime Guys listeners, you can save 20% on your SimpliSafe security system and get your first month free when you sign up for interactive monitoring service. Just visit simplisafe.com/creeper to customize your system and start protecting your home and family. That's simplisafe.com/creeper.
All right, we're back. Hope you guys enjoyed those messages from our sponsors. And as we mentioned, all the teens in this story were now 15, and they were a week away from their ninth grade graduation, which to me sounded weird because I grew up in America, in the American school system. Ninth grade is the beginning of high school. That's freshman year of high school.
Yeah, you're just getting started.
Yeah. So let's go into the Swedish education school system and give you guys a little lesson on this and how different it is than America. Education in Sweden is divided into 4 levels of schooling. Children may attend an optional preschool program from 1 to 5. Children are then offered a place in a kindergarten when they turn 6. Following kindergarten and compulsory schooling, which is divided into 3 levels. Elementary school comprises the first 3 years of compulsory school, then middle school, which is for years 4 through 6, and finally junior high school, which is for years 7 through 9. So when we say they're graduating ninth grade, they're technically going on to what we would consider high school, but their high school is much different. And apparently it's like optional.
And it's, after compulsory it's more school, focused, right?
Yes, exactly. Like I said, it prepares you more for adult life, I think, because you can, like you said, focus more on something you actually want to do instead of just a generalized schooling. So after compulsory school, Swedish students may attend an optional senior high school for 3 years. It's a 3-year education. You start the year when you turn 16 and thus finish the year you turn 19. That way everyone would be old enough to drink alcohol when they graduate, it says. And it's actually not mandatory to go to this three-year education program following middle school. So once you graduate middle school, you could technically just be done with school.
Yeah, you're ready for the work field, right? You're ready to just do like a trade job. Interesting. Yeah. But if you want to go further into a certain trade or a certain field, then they have schools for that. Is that right? Like there's different schools that focus on different things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the education is more or less divided into two categories, programs that allow you to go to higher education and programs that are work-focused, which means you'll be fully educated within the chosen field after those 3 years. For example, a program of the first kind can be social studies, science, or arts, and the second kind, hairdresser, plumber, or florist.
Yeah, like trade school.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so like imagine your three-year high school was you learning your trade that you want to go into.
Right. And that's ideal.
The only thing it's paid for by the state. And I think that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're not you're not indebted, you know, you're not just inundated with freaking $30,000 worth of student debt and shit by the time you can go into the workforce.
Right. But the only thing I don't like about it is the fact that you have to choose your career so young, 14, 15. I had no idea.
Well, that's the beauty is like they have the option of doing that, too. Like you can. Like I said, you can either focus on just general studies allow you to go to higher education, or you can do the program that's work focused. So you still have the option of that too.
Can you take a break? You know, like let's say you wanted to take a couple years off and go back to school when you're 18.
That I'm not sure of.
That would be interesting, right? That doesn't seem like a good plan.
Right.
That seems.
I took a break. I'm 33 now, and I'm gonna go do that 3 year program now, guys.
Right. I think I'm gonna go be a florist now.
Right.
Yeah. Oh shit.
Yeah. So back to the story. Prom season is now in full swing, and Therese had no reason to believe her life was in danger. She is continuing to do her blog. She posts pictures of her prom dress. Well, kind of. She posted a cryptic picture of her wearing her prom dress, but the dress itself was blacked out. Kind of a little teaser. Okay. You know.
I got you. Yeah.
And she even joked about, "I hope no one else has the same dress as me."
Prom fears.
Meanwhile, she had no idea that a person she knew, a person she had kissed at a party that she went to school with, had already attempted to kill her three separate times. Oh. And he was far from done from trying to complete his mission. On May 27th at 10:50 p.m., he texts Tuve, quote, "I know how I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask her to help me find a hidden bottle of vodka. Then I'm going to act like I hurt my back. When she bends over and she's not looking, I'll pull it out. I'm so excited. I'll talk to you tomorrow." What a bizarre way to plan to kill someone, right?
Yeah, and why would you say exactly how you're going to kill
someone?
And how many
14-year-olds are throwing out their back when they bend over, first of all?
Listen, we talked about how these kids mature quickly, Lauren, okay? They also age, okay? The stresses that they're putting on their bodies.
Right. The amount of vodka they're drinking by the age of 13.
The spine is 78.
It really deteriorates their body.
Exactly. I mean, these kids are carrying bottles of vodka around to school. Like, yes, right. Their backs hurt. Give them a break.
So the next morning, he would attempt his latest plan. Shortly before 8 a.m., Therese was walking to the bus stop when Tim appeared. He tells Therese that he owes some money to some guys, and since he didn't pay them in time, he now owes them a bottle of vodka, too.
Yeah,
he says that he's hidden a bottle in some bushes, but now he can't find it. He asks her to help him look. And Therese, being, you know, very friendly girl,
she
agreed, and it seemed to be working, his plan. As she headed towards the bushes with him, he was, you know, ready to enact his plan until her friend yelled out to them that they were about to miss the bus to school. So the bus was pulling up as they started head toward the bushes. Therese apologized profusely and ran back to the bus stop, and his plan was foiled yet again. I think this was the third attempt, correct?
Yes. Two times at the home, and then this. Mm-hmm. Three times. Yeah. Man, her friend saved her life, didn't she? Had no idea.
I mean, for another day or two. I mean, it was unfortunately ultimately carried out, as we know, but.
Right.
Yeah, gave her some more time. On May 29th, Tuve and her family would go on a weekend trip to Paris. And from Paris, she would continually pester Tim relentlessly through texts to carry out this mission.
Oh, yeah. Well, she probably felt real powerless being that far away. You know, from everything going on. So
and also
you can
bored.
Imagine.
She's on a family trip, and she wants, you know, some drama to go along with that, of course.
Right, right, of course. Like, being in Paris isn't enough. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're in Sweden, it's not as... for us to go to Paris, that's like such a shock in everything, but I think we already...
Okay, so it's like the Bahamas for them?
Maybe. I don't know, dude. It's a different world for me.
But. I don't know. I think Paris is amazing no matter what.
Paris seems like a quick jaunt from Sweden. It's not that big of a deal.
Okay.
Probably because something they do more frequently than Americans do, making trips to Paris.
No, true. Definitely. It's definitely less special.
When you can just do a weekend trip to Paris like that, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't mean the same. I hear you.
Yeah. She sends a text to Tim, quote, "This is so hard for me because you're not doing what you're supposed to. I can't trust you. You know what you have to do this weekend. Keep texting me and I'll read them when I get home." She would later text again, "Did you do it yet? I will be mad if you haven't done it when I get back, but I'm not surprised. You never keep your promises."
Ooh. Ooh. God, this is so fucking cynical. Ouch. God, I know you won't, though. You never get, like, oh my God, you're playing this whole bet you won't? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
See, you think they're mature until they start doing shit like this, right? Then they kind of show, it's like, oh yeah, this is 15-year-olds. I get it.
Super childish.
Yep.
But the sad thing is we want to believe this is all harmless kids, silly talking like back and forth in a fantasy world, but it spills over into reality sometimes like this one, and it actually ends in someone being murdered, you know?
Absolutely. So, and most
to what
of
extent
times,
do you find your teenage kid's phone when they have in text like this back and forth, and you, how much to what extent do you take it seriously? I think you have to, because you just don't know fully what they're capable of in their emotional state.
You don't. And then on the other hand, though, there is plenty of, like you said, this is a fantasy. This is over dramatized. Mm-hmm. There is plenty of text like that. I dare to say any parent who grabs their teenager's phone and looks at text, they're going to have some alarming text in there.
You're going to probably be pretty shocked.
You're going to be shocked. And that's myself included. And I know that.
And 95% of it is going to be just them theoretically talking back and forth and being emotional.
Right.
And
They talk theater different with their friends. And I think that's a mistake parents make, is they're like, oh, this is not my child. This is not how, like, well, no, that's just not the parts they show you.
Mm-hmm.
This is still part of who they are. These are glimpses of the influences that are in their life. You know what I'm saying? And these are parts that they show to other people. And sometimes that can be, it can be very alarming. And I do think parents need to somewhat keep a check on it. But like you said, I think most of it's harmless. But in this case, unfortunately, it wasn't.
Yeah. Tim responds, quote, "I can't do this, Tuve. I've taken the pressure of having to do it before you get home. I really want to do it, but I don't know if I can. I want to show you that I love you. Please, can I do it any other way?" And then he says, quote, "I haven't gotten the opportunity. I'll try again tomorrow. Please don't be mad at me for not doing it." Tuve responds, quote, "Why don't you text me like you promised? Did you do you know what yet? Why aren't you answering, fucking creep? So untrustworthy. I hate you. I'm sure you're fucking her right now. Die." Jesus.
So, oh my God. And he was texting you. He said, "I can't do this, Tuve. I've gotten the opportunity. I'll try again tomorrow." And then she responds, "Why don't you text me?"
Well, you have to keep in mind, this is over the course of a weekend, these texts back and forth. They're not like, you know.
They're not immediately.
And this is an example of what I mean. He may not have been responding to her throughout this day because he had left his phone. This part's kind of funny in a way. Like, he had left his phone at his friend's house, and his friend is seeing these texts come through and seeing this conversation they're having, and he's pretty alarmed at what he's seeing. Tuve, after sending this last text, you know, "You fucking creep, you're so untrustworthy, I'm sure you're fucking her, die," she gets a text back from Tim's phone, but it's not Tim. It's the text says, "Tim forgot his phone at my house. Ola." Ola is Tim's friend. He left his phone there, and Ola is reading this conversation that they're having.
Yeah.
And he's figuring out, like, holy shit, I think they're planning on killing Therese. He knows Therese as well.
Right. But here's the thing. Who leaves their text messages, like, unlocked on their home screen or whatever?
Yeah.
Or their, like,
I think phone passcodes and all that shit were a lot less common.
That's true. You're talking 2009.
Early 2000s.
Yeah.
Nobody doesn't have a lock on their phone now. Granted, it's a lot easier now because we have either the thumbprint or the facial recognition on phones now. So it's, like, silly not to have it.
True.
But back then, it seemed like everybody's phones were unlocked when I was in high school and stuff. Like, you know, a lot of phones didn't even have the option, like flip phones and shit like that.
That's true. And also, when you got a text message, it showed up on that outside screen. Even if you had a flip phone and you had, like, the little one. See, whereas now, you know, you can set your privacy to just tell you that you have a text message, not actually
it just
read
says who
the
texted
first
you,
part.
Not what it says.
Yeah, but that's a good point, man. They probably had, like, Motorola Razors or some shit, and they're over here, like, reading the whole text
the
message
sidekick.
On that tiny screen.
Remember the Sidekick?
The Sidekick.
I was so jealous of people that had that. I wanted that fucking phone.
The OG BlackBerry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Blackberries were cool. I miss tactile buttons with phones. I still think that they're superior to the touchscreen. I really do. I think I've brought it up before, but I was a T9 god at texting. I could.
Yeah.
I think it would have saved so many lives over the last 10 years if we still had like tech, you know, actual buttons on a phone. Because I could text T9 while staring at the road and driving. I could text entire paragraphs without looking at the phone once. I knew exactly what I was saying. Cannot do that with a touchscreen.
Oh, no, you can't do that with a touchscreen. I was going to say, I like touchscreens because of swipe. At least with Android phones, you know, you can swipe to text. You know what I'm talking
also,
about?
Also, I feel like there's a lot more of like my phone just doing what it doing its own thing in my pocket with the touchscreen. Many times it's locked me out of my screen and things like that, and I'm locked out of my phone for 5-10 minutes because it was doing whatever in my pocket.
Yeah, I think that's phone to phone though. Like I've had certain smartphones that do that, and then I've had other ones that I have no issues with. Mm-hmm. But I know you had that issue with your recent iPhone, right, where it kept unlocking in your pocket.
Talked about that on Just the Banter. An unfortunate thing happened to my phone.
Oh God, so unfortunate.
Check that
maybe
out.
Maybe the grossest Just the unfortunate thing Patreon. Ever.
Yeah. Yeah, about the worst thing that you could imagine happening. Your phone happened to me last week. But anyways, let's get back to the story. So, Ola, Tim's friend, finds his phone, left at his house, and reads through this conversation that he's having with Tuve, and he's understandably disturbed. He writes down what he had seen in a notebook and shares it with his brother, Max. Unfortunately, they could have saved Therese's life had they shared this with authorities.
Absolutely.
Because I think Tim and Tuve don't get arrested, but they at least police question them about what's going on or something like that, and they deter Tim, who was already on the fence about doing this, in my opinion.
That's what I think, too. I think if he had just had a little nudge, like, hey, wake up now, you could spend your life in prison. Do you still want to do this? Although, if you look at the past, he may have studied past criminals in Sweden, past murderers, and seen... that their penalties weren't all that bad. And unfortunately, that was the case here as well.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
So on June 1st at 9 p.m., Tuve texts him, quote, "You haven't done you know what yet, and I'm going to be home in 2 hours. It's over." Then she texts, "And one more thing. Don't find another girl just because we're over. It's going to be a problem for you. Thanks, smiley face."
What the fuck?
What the fuck does that even mean? Like, she's saying she's going to kill the girl if he gets with another one?
Right.
That's the way I'm taking that, especially when you consider the conversation they've been having.
Yeah, I just think she thinks that I'm just going to do everything I can to ruin that relationship, which is insane.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Like, that second text shows you that the first one was a bluff. She's saying it's over, and then she texts, "Don't find another girl. It's going to be a problem for you." Like, clearly you're not over this.
Right. Well, she's saying, you know, don't think that there's a way out of this, and then you can just leave me. And not do right by me and just move on with your life because you don't need me anymore, because I'm going to make that a problem as well. Just in case you're getting cold feet right now. Whew.
He texts That's back, cynical. "Please, can't I show you how much I love you some other way, or at least give me some more time? I couldn't do it this weekend, but I can do it." She texts back, "How dumb are you? You promised that you were going to do it over the weekend and you broke that promise. I'll have to do it myself. You obviously can't."
Yeah, do it then. I'd call her bluff.
Tim then says, "Tuve, please, I can't do it. Just give me more time." Tuve then says, "You promised that when I saw her on the subway, it would be the last time. If it's not, you lied again." He then says, "I promise I'll do it before prom." She says, "Until you do, we are nothing." Jeez. At this point, prom was just a few days away. And on the night of Saturday, June 6, 2009, would be the night that Tim would attempt to carry this thing out once again, his fourth attempt. That evening, Tim was at a friend's house with Max and Ola watching soccer. So Ola, being the friend that he had left the phone at the house, Ola kind of knows what's going on here between him and Tuve.
Right.
They all had plans that evening, as did most of their graduating class. That night, a group of teenagers planned a gathering to celebrate graduation at Hokbakken, which was an abandoned ski jump hill and common hangout location in the woods. I think most towns in the world have locations that teenagers hang out. This just happened to be the one.
Absolutely.
At the time for these kids. And kind of eerie. You know, it had a big wooden ramp that was made for ski jumps, and it was like busted up. There was planks missing from it and things like that. It had an eerie vibe to it.
Yeah.
Especially when you consider what would happen this night. At 7:16 p.m., Tim texts Tuve, quote, "If she's there tonight, I'll do it then. Otherwise, I'll find out where she is. I'll talk to you later. Kisses." Meanwhile, Tuve was at Gordon's house with some other boys watching the game.
What the fuck?
I know, right?
Right? She's at Gordon's house with all boys watching, and then turns her phone off?
Yep.
Man, she is twisted, all
mind games back and forth, man.
Yeah. She just likes fucking with everybody.
Yeah. They were both just narcissistic teenagers, man.
Yeah. Well, he was
the
just...
The world revolved around them.
He was just pathetically smitten with her for some reason. Mm-hmm. But she was just like, she just like controlling shit just in a maniacal way.
I think that's what it is, right? She was a control freak. She couldn't stand that she had lost the control over him when he kissed her enemy.
Yeah.
And this must be corrected. This can't stand.
Right. And in the meantime, I'm getting even by hanging out at Gordon's house.
Exactly. Yeah. I get my cake and I get to eat it too. Meanwhile, Therese Rojo would arrive at Hokebacken at 9 p.m. with two friends. And she was having a good time with the group. They were all drinking vodka and beers. Tim would arrive shortly after with his friends, Dennis and Max.
What happened to Ola? You know?
I mean, that's he was weird. Probably there too. I don't know.
It's just funny that Ola and Max were with him, and then when they show up at the place, it's Dennis.
Yeah, maybe he was dragging behind. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Tim was noticeably different than the group of teens that were all there to have a good time. He was not socializing. He, according to witnesses, instead glared intently at Therese. He was just standing there glaring at her.
Right. That's not weird at all.
That's yeah. And around this time, he texts Tuve. Tuve, I don't want you to turn off your cell phone. I'll text you when it's done, and I want you to call me right away, even if we just talked 5 minutes ago. And not long after that, Tuve would arrive at the party with some friends as well. And at this point, Tim would be seen pulling her aside, and they would talk for about 5 minutes. She would seem upset after their conversation and was seen leaving with her friend Olivia, and they would be seen on CCTV heading to a subway. So they would leave the party, and they would head back to Olivia's house.
Okay.
Tuve text him at some point, quote, in all caps, kill her if you love me.
Oof. And of course, while she's not at the party, like, she's such a coward, she doesn't even want to be on site when it happens.
Mm-hmm. An hour later, Tim sees Therese walk off into the woods alone. She was allegedly going to pee, and so she walked off real quick on her own, at which point he would follow her. This is his opportunity. He would eventually find her. She was alone underneath a cliff, and he would tell her he needed to talk to her. She would sit down to talk, at which point he would grab a log from the ground and hit her in the side of the head. The log was, however, it was rotten and shattered. Imagine... When you picked up this log, you couldn't have thought you were going to do much damage with a rotten log.
I was about to say,
nothing, you know?
He must not spend much time in the woods, because you can tell right away when it's going to be rotten and shattered. Like, if it's so light, if you pick that thing up and almost throw it, you're probably not going to be able to hit anybody with it.
She would then yell at him, what are you doing? He then pushed her onto the ground, and she would be on her stomach, where he would choke her from behind with his arm around her neck until she went limp. He would then flip her over onto her back and hear her gasping for air, at which point he put his knee on her neck, and while he searched for a stick in the dark, eventually finding one, which he would push down on her neck, breaking her windpipe. He would walk away briefly before returning to kick her twice in the stomach to make sure that she was dead before running all the way home.
Oh,
so this thing went from dramatic texts back and forth between two teenagers to very real, brutal homicide that had just occurred.
Tim
was not
as...
bluffing at this point. He followed through.
Dude, this is just as real and gruesome and heartless as any serial killer murder that I think we've ever seen.
Very personal, I mean, she's fighting for her life, and he was, the next day when police would pick him up, he was very scratched up. She fought for his life. He had scratches all over his face, on his arms.
Oh.
This was a very personal and brutal murder that he just perpetrated for this fucking girl that... egged him on, that they were never meant to be together anyway, you know.
Right. Just... Oh, you just can't see past it, man. At that age, you can't see past it.
No.
Oh, it's so tragic.
So when Therese didn't come back from her walk, her friends go looking for her. By now, their friend's mom, who came to pick them up from the party, had arrived and joins to help them on their search. And at around midnight, Gordon, Daniel, and another boy would find her body in some bushes next to a trail. The mother would attempt CPR on Therese, but it was too late. The paramedics rushed her to the hospital, where she was pronounced dead. And the next morning, Sunday, June 7th at 6:15 a.m., Tim would be arrested at his house. I mean, it was pretty obvious, right? Everyone at the party saw his behavior. His own friend, Ola, had read the text back and forth.
Yep.
They knew, everyone knew they had this rocky relationship. Everyone knew about the infamous kiss that had occurred at the party that had enraged Tuve to the extent of beating up Tim in the hallway at school. Like, this was just so obvious who had done this.
Absolutely. And he disappears at the party after...
Yep.
After,
right at the same time Therese that Therese missing. Disappeared, he disappears.
Exactly, because he ran all the way home.
Mm-hmm. So he's picked up at 6:15 a.m. the next morning, and at 9:30 a.m., Tuve was arrested at Olivia's house. They both initially denied having anything to do with the murder, but on June 10th, after talking with his priest, Tim would confess, and that's where we get the details of the actual murder itself, was in his confession. The police also get a hold of the text conversations between him and Tuve, and that's the smoking gun. That's all they need to know to really get a conviction here.
Oh yeah.
Tuve, however, tried to give an innocent side of this story. She said that she wanted to break up with him, but he wouldn't leave her alone, so she created an impossible task for him, an ultimatum that when he failed would ultimately end the relationship, and that was to kill Therese. Her story was that she believed there was no way he would go through it with it because of their religious beliefs. He'd been baptized into their church and everything else.
Right. They're obviously Catholic if he went and confessed to his priest. So, yeah, I mean, I get that. That's a huge sin.
Yep.
But if you wanted the relationship to end, you could have done that a million other ways.
Right. Yeah, like block his number. I'm sure you could still do that in 2009. You could block someone's number and avoid them at school.
Right. Or, yeah, maybe just ignore him altogether and don't even give him a way to earn your trust back, to earn your love back, instead of throwing out a very specific horrible crime that he could do to then, restore your relationship. Love. Yeah.
Yeah, so they would be examined, and the results of the forensic psychiatric examination showed that the two 16-year-olds did not suffer from any serious mental disorder at the time of the murder, and they would be convicted. Tuve would be convicted of solicitation of murder, but it's pretty shocking the sentence to which they would receive. And Sweden is apparently very forgiving to their youth in their country as far as, violent crimes, because she would be sentenced to only 4 years, and Tim, shockingly, would be sentenced to the same amount of time, 4 years in a youth detention center murder.
Do you not think they deserve the same?
I think he deserves more, but I think they both deserve a much longer sentence than 4 years. And honestly, I've read in many other articles that they actually only got 18 months, which is...
Yeah.
They're both shocking. 4 years in juvie.
That's ridiculous.
Tim carrying out this very personal and brutal murder, I think, deserves more than she does. But she definitely deserved, at the very least, solicitation of murder, for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think they at least deserve to spend half their life in prison, if not all of it. Like, the seriousness of a murder needs to be, I don't know, it needs to be expressed. I just think 18 months for someone's life is just not enough.
No.
It's really not. Like, you should have to spend, like I said. I can't imagine
that Therese's family was very happy with this outcome, right? Because they were both released.
No. There's no justice.
Both, at this point, they've both already been out of jail for 8 years. They were released in 2013 at the age of 20.
That's disgusting. They should have had to have been in prison at least until they're in their 40s, my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't care if they're ill-prepared when they come out. You shouldn't have fucking killed somebody. Like, that shit needs to be... It just needs to be taken more serious.
Yeah, Therese's life is gone. She was
exactly
16 years old, and she was brutally murdered by someone that she was nice to. She was nice to him the whole time. She helped him. She was going to help him look for that fucking vodka bottle. She was, even when he finds her in the woods, which is kind of creepy, she goes off to pee and he comes out alone and finds her. She still sits down to talk with him.
Yep.
And then he does that to her,
Yeah, man. There's got to be greater consequences for that.
Yeah.
There's got to be. But their pictures are out there, and their names are out there now. Sweden tried to hide it. Like on the Wikipedia page, you can't find anything about their names. All it says is two teenagers. Right. But they're out there, and they got to live with that shit, which they should. I'm sure they probably live in another country now or have moved far away, but either way, it's just, man, they really got away with it. In my opinion, that's getting away with murder, 18 months in juvie. Mm-hmm.
Whether it was 4 years or 18 months, I've heard both.
Either way,
it's far from enough.
Yeah. You got out at 20? You have your whole life ahead of you. You're going to forget about that shit. Mm-hmm. That's like doing a little stint in the military for 4 years. That ain't nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's our case. We hope you guys enjoyed this, you know, twisted love story that turned to murder, and yeah. very tragic.
Enjoyed the retelling, right?
Beautiful girl, just living her life, was taken too soon by these two fucking creep pigs, yeah. I guess we could call them, since she loved to throw that word around.
Yeah, she did, didn't she? You fucking pig. Yeah. Wow. If he's such a pig, then why do you keep coming back to him? Why do you keep fighting for him? Odd. I think it's because she knew that he was the one guy that would do anything for her. You know, whereas Gordon was probably just there and she was a rebound for him, you know? Her ex-boyfriend.
Yep. Yep.
But this guy, but Tim seemed to be hooked. Yep. Wow. Just like I'm hooked on Oh My Gaia.
Oh My Gaia.
How you like that segue? Oh My Gaia is an innovative, all-natural deodorant, fragrance, and beard oil company specializing in paraben and aluminum-free products. Their innovative line of deodorants inhibit the growth of odor-causing bacteria while maintaining effectiveness. At Oh My Gaia, they use only all-natural, paraben, and aluminum-free organic ingredients. And guys, there's tons of scents to choose from at Oh My Gaia, from vanilla, cherry almond, sandalwood, lavender, lemongrass, Egyptian musk, my personal favorite, coconut, dreamsicle, leather, lumberjack, honeysuckle, fireside, bergamot, amber, barbershop, pear, sweet pea. We have our very own scent. How could I forget? True Crime Pine. If you don't know where to start, that's a great place. For all you creepers, you can get 15% off your order by using the code word CREEPER. See? CREEPER for 15% off your order. At shop_OhMyGaia on Instagram or OhMyGaia.com. That's OhMyGaia.com. Guys, you won't regret it. Switch today. And there's also beard oil, scented oils, all sorts of things. So you can get your smell good fix at Oh My Gaia. No Do doubt. It. Do it,
peace. Also, if you want more content from us, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/truecrimeguys. $2 a month gets you access to our once a month Patreon yep. exclusive episode, which we've covered so many big hitters. Usually they're more extensive cases, 2-3 hour episodes. We've had a Patreon for like 3 years now.
At least. And yeah.
There's so much content on there for $2. And if you want to go up to $5, you get even more. You get the extra show that we do, which is called Just the Banter. You can find out what happened to my phone this past week.
Oh Lord.
And much more about us. You know, you get to learn more about us. We have Patreon members send us questions every week, hypotheticals. You get to, learn more about how our brains work and things like that. And we just hang out. It's not really about murder. It's just about, shooting the shit. And those are usually an hour. We record every Friday, Just the Banter every week. So you get a whole other show. And $5 also at that level, you get the gold Creep Van sticker, which is very prestigious.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Gold Creep Van sticker. And then $10 a month, you get your monthly Zoom call with the host, with the most, both of us. So at the end of the month, we usually try to hit the last Friday. Do we do it on Fridays, Lauren? Or do we? Yeah, Fridays, right?
Yeah,
before Just the Banter, before we record Just the Banter, every Friday, the last Friday of every month, we try to do a Zoom call. And if you're a $10 patron, creep of the crop, we like to call them, then you guys get to join us, ask questions, we hang out for about a half hour, and it's just a free open discussion. So whatever you guys want to talk about. So if you're tired of talking them back to your radio, you know, or your podcast app with us, you can actually talk to us, and we'll talk back to you. You can express all your complaints, all the mispronunciations, all the bad accents. It's a good time.
Hell yeah. All right, let's give a shout out to a couple people real quick that have taken the time to rate and review the show. I want to thank Name Mama Gave Me said, thanks for presenting these facts in a way that isn't soul crushingly serious. Keep a true crime fan. Keeping true crime fun sounds weird, but yeah, fire emojis.
Right on.
So thank you, thanks, guys. Name Mama Gave Me. I love that. And you want to talk about our other show, Strange and Unexplained?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Guys, Strange and Unexplained is one of our other shows on True Crime Guys Productions.
We'll I was going to say, we have a few, I guess. We'll talk about it in a minute.
All right, you better watch out, peeps. We growing over here. But Strange and Unexplained comes out every Monday, wherever you listen to podcasts. A new unsolved missing person, strange phenomena case comes out, like I said, every Monday. And every fourth Monday, we do a special episode on Strange and Unexplained. It's on Patreon called Sandu Stories, where we do a like fully produced radio-type show with voice actors and sound effects. And it's written in more of a story format, almost like a well-produced audiobook, I guess you could say. And that's every fourth week, just like we do on True Crime Guys. Every fourth week is a Patreon episode, same way with Sandu. But in a trade on Sandu, I'll release Strange Shorts, which I do every Monday on Patreon. But on that Monday where we don't have a free episode, I release a Strange Shorts to the public. So you guys still get a little something on your Monday, you know. And then also, Lauren has a new show called The Full House Fantasy Football Podcast. That was a challenge to get into the logo, Lauren. I appreciate that. Yeah,
it's pretty crazy how quickly you can throw together a podcast if you know, like, we've been around, so we know how to pull it off. But like, Michael's been nudging me to start a show about fantasy football because I'm, you know, I love it.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that a new person came into my life that is perfect to do it with. A dude named Tori moved up to my neck of the woods.
Perfect.
And he's super into fantasy football as well. And he was like, he loved the idea of doing a show. So we jumped on the mic, recorded an episode. Next thing you know, Michael made us a logo and I uploaded it. I got his RSS feed and it's already on iTunes. It's on Google Play. It's on Stitcher. It's everywhere. So Full House Fantasy Podcast. We've done our first episode. We got through the weirdness, the first few minutes of starting a new show and getting the feel for it. And I feel like by the end of the episode, we forgot we were on the mics and it was feeling good. And so yeah, we're going to record that every week. We're probably going to record Thursday nights after the Thursday night game. We're going to watch that and then record and you know, give our thoughts on each week that just occurred and the week that's coming up, players to pick up. If you want to send questions and things like that, start sit questions or trade questions, anything like that. We have an email, fullhousefantasyfootball @gmail.com. Send questions there and check it out.
Right on, dude. Oh, so you're going to record on Thursdays.
Yeah. Thursday nights after Thursday night football. So it'll be up on, it'll probably be up late Thursday night, for most people, early Friday morning for some.
Okay. I always thought of Thursday as the beginning of the fantasy week though.
It is, but there's no other time I can really record. I have so many commitments with this show and with our, you know, I have to do the synopsis and I have to so Thursday night's what works for me. After my kids go to bed, we can jump on. And he kind of wanted to be able to preview the Thursday night game as well, but there's just no way to work that out. So
okay. And when do you plan to release those?
Like I said, Thursday after we get done recording, I'll release them that night, Thursday night.
Oh, okay.
It'll be available Friday morning. So
right on. All right. Well, look for that, guys, on Friday morning. Listen to your weekly fantasy football podcast. Get a little advice, get a little technique from some of these pros that's won a few leagues.
I wouldn't call us pros. We're a couple of schmoes that watch fantasy football and give our thoughts.
A little better than the average schmo, though. And Lauren's being a little modest. He's got some experience. He's won a few leagues, maybe one.
I'm at least
five.
A 1-0 schmo in our fantasy league for the Patreon.
That's right. Hey, well, so am I. Anybody can do that.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Michael had the most points on the week in week one in our fantasy league.
Yeah, this week's going to be different. Damn, Josh Jacobs. We'll see what we can do, but yeah guys, is that it, man?
That's about it. We'll see you guys next week for a Patreon exclusive episode. So it's never been a better time to join our Patreon page.
That's right.
Because next week you won't get to hear us on our main feed. It's only gonna be on Patreon. So
that's right, guys. We'll see you in 2 weeks then, freeloaders and Patreon guys. We'll see you next week.
All right, y'all, keep creeping. Have a great week.
In the desert, we like a mirage. It's okay if you clicked on us, cause you thought we was True Crime Garage. Now we ain't mad at you. Sit down, let us talk at you. I'm talking to the creeper army. We out here making murder, get murder, get murder. True Crime Garage. In the desert, we like a mirage. It's okay if you clicked on us, cause you thought we was True Crime Garage. Now we ain't mad at you. Sit down, let us talk at you. I'm talking to the creeper army. We out here making murder charming.